Good morning. It's good to see you all. Hazel's already mentioned it, but I am going to talk about the C word this morning. Now, for many of us, when we say the C word, people think, oh, he's going to talk about cancer. But I may as well be, because I'm going to talk about the change word, which for some of us feels just as bad. I guess when it comes to change, most of the time, we are working with what I would call an emotional reaction to it. And if the tyres need changing on the car, we might kind of feel emotional. Oh, well, that's another 300 quid down the drain or whatever. But most of the time, it's a fairly rational thinking thing, right? Okay, the tyres need changing. I will get caught. I will get fined if I run around with bald tyres. It is dangerous. So we use a lot of mind. So we just know the car tyres need doing. If it's about kind of falling in love and the changes that bring, well, that's a much more heart thing. And if it's about the pastor standing up and saying, guess what, in the autumn we're moving to two services and we don't think rationally, we think, ah, change! Well, I do, even if you don't. But I want us to think about it this morning. And I guess some of the emotional reactions might be summed up with some of the cartoons that I managed to find online. There's a boardroom scene in there when a lady, they're looking at plummeting sales, plummeting profits, and somebody just pipes up and says, what if we don't change at all and something magical just happens? We know it doesn't, and doesn't happen at all. And then somebody meets the angel of death and goes, oh no, it's the angel of death. And he says, no, I've changed my name. I'm now the agent of change. One day you will laugh, one day, more at me than, anyway. And then some of us feel like this one's appropriate because there's this guy being held up and he says, just think of me as an agent of change. And time again, when somebody's asking us to change, it feels like somebody's got a gun to our heads. And the last thing we want to do is change, but somebody's not giving us a lot of options. And there's a good quote that I found as well. What if I told you that 10 years from now, your life would be exactly the same? I doubt you'd be happy. So why are you so afraid of change? I want to introduce you to a brand new person in my life, or our life. He's fast asleep. And tell you about little Ethan Levi David Smith. Introduce you to my brand new grandson. Well, he's 13 weeks old tomorrow. This is Ethan Levi David Smith. And we like him like this, so we're not going to let him change. Well, I guess if he gets a bit smelly, we might want to change him. But babies are so cute and cuddly, and this one, when he's awake, he just smiles all the time. So we kind of thought, let's keep him as he is. That'd be cool. But actually, if he was 13 years old and he looked like this, or 33 years old and he looked like this, and we said, oh, he's our great-grandson, he's never changed, isn't it fantastic? You'd be thinking there's something wrong here. Okay? Whether we like it or not, change is here to stay. Sorry, mate, you're going to have to grow up one day. It will take another 60 or 70 years, but it will happen. Okay? In Jesus' day, people like the Pharisees, to whom Jesus spoke this parable about new wineskins, they were kind of trying to hold things as they were. And the minute Jesus came along, people began to speak about new. Right from the very beginning of his ministry, when he stood up and spoke, and when he stood up and did miracles, when he stood up and released people from demonic powers and set them free so they were healed, guess what they said? Their response was, what is this? A new teaching? Why? Because Jesus spoke with and had authority that they'd never come across before. And the Pharisees went, new? We don't want new. Well, we don't do new. We hold on to the old. We keep things as they are, because that's the way we stay safe. And so they resisted Jesus to the point that very, very early on in his ministry, they plotted with their arch enemies, the Herodians, Mark chapter 3, and they plotted to kill him. Jesus comes actually as an agent of change, and the Pharisees say, let's kill him. You can't imagine that. Their old religion had a very particular law that said, thou shalt do no murder. Forget that. This guy is new. This guy speaks new. This guy represents new. Let's kill him. Not really a rational or an emotional reaction or a rational reaction. It's just a gut level. Get rid. Get rid of the guy who's going to change. So Jesus speaks this challenging parable about new wineskins. And essentially he's saying, look, I've come in to bring the kingdom of God. And he speaks a very simple picture story in a few short words when he says, nobody takes new wine and puts it into old wineskins. Now, there's a reason for that. An old wineskin was made from the skin of a goat or the skin of a sheep, and the wine was poured into it. When it was brand new, it had flexibility to it. Simple as that. And when grape juice was crushed and run out as juice, they would put it into the wineskins. And actually, there's a kind of a must on the outside of the skin of a grape that when it's being crushed, mixes into the juice. And that's what begins to make it ferment and turn it into wine. Just so you know, I don't drink. I know nothing about wine, so I had to do a lot of research. And, you know, Wikipedia is brilliant, isn't it? It's just so good. So I've learned quite a bit about wine this morning and this week and vintage wines and stuff like that. But essentially, when it gets inside the wineskin, it's locked inside there, but the must that from the grape skin begins to ferment. Now, ferment produces a chemical reaction. Chemical reactions produce heat. Heat expands, and the wineskin expands and fills and gets all nice and tight. But if you put new wine into an old wineskin that is now beyond its expansion point, it's now getting a bit shriveled and tight, you close it off and it starts to expand, then it just bursts the wineskin and you've got a mess on the floor and you've wasted your new wine. And Jesus said to the Pharisees, nobody puts new wine into an old skin. You just don't do it. And it, in a way, they would say, well, that's common sense, isn't it? And Jesus said, well, take a look at yourselves. No one pours new wine into an old wineskin. And I guess Jesus was very clear. Right from the beginning of his ministry, people recognized something was new. Towards the end of his ministry, before he came to the cross, at the communion service of the Last Supper, he took wine. Don't worry, this is non-alcoholic. He took wine and he gave thanks for it and he poured it. And I don't think what they do nowadays, they apparently see whether the wine has got a nose. Now, some of you are already thinking he's taken the top off. He should have let it stand and breathe for at least an hour, or at least 2 hours, and make sure it's at room temperature. And definitely getting strawberries. Hint of citron. This is from a south-facing vineyard. Just on the southern shores of Galilee. I'm sure this was picked by a three-handed man. Yeah, that's the sort of thing these wine people do, you know. It's just kind of, I'm like, no, you're kidding. It's just grape juice. Surely it's just grape juice. Anyway. Jesus poured it and he said these words. After supper, he took the cup and he said, this cup is the new covenant. I say those words nearly every time we take communion here, and I say new promise because that's what a covenant means. So Jesus said, this is not the old. The kingdom of God has come in to bring the new. And he brings the new so that we can begin to enter the new promise of Christ dying on a cross to set us free and forgive us for our sin so that we could know God as our Father through the presence of his Spirit in our lives. That's what he's come to bring. And Paul, somebody who resisted... Oh, hang on, I'm drunk here. Yeah, that's not bad. We should have that for lunch. Hands off. Stealing is wrong. Okay. So Paul writes this, and Paul resisted this new. Resisted to the point that he hated Christians because they were speaking this kingdom language. But then when he found God, or God found him, he said, but now, by dying, by letting go of the old, by dying to what bound us and held us back, we've been released from the law that held us back. So we serve in the new way of the Spirit, completely different, and not in the old way of the written code. So whether you like it or not, the minute you become a Christian, you're embracing new life. A new heart, a new way of life, a new following of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Master, a new reliance on him, leaning on him as your Savior. That's what new is about. So as Christians, embracing new should be a normal part of who we are. So there's a new season. And Jesus says that. Basically, he's saying to the Pharisees, look, there's a new season going on. New wine is part of the new kingdom. It's got to have new wineskins. Because without it, there can't be that growth. There can't be that expansion. There can't be the change that's needed in your life and in your heart unless the new wine of the kingdom is coming into you as a new person. So what does it need? What does a new wineskin have? Or what is there going on there that might be good for us? First of all, I think a new wineskin is coming in because it's a new you. God's kingdom has come into your life and changed you. It's made you into a different person. But what's going on? If you're a new wineskin, I'm sorry, it's not a great analogy if you're an old one. At least the new wineskin's got kind of, it's had a bit of a skin lift, doesn't it? We'll not go down that route this morning. Okay, into a lot of trouble. But first of all, a new wineskin is ready to receive. Okay, it's not cracked, it's not parched, it's not dry, it's not old. It's ready to receive. And I guess a challenge for us individually, and a challenge for us together is are we ready to receive the things that God brings to us that actually will change? Individually, what's going on in your life right now that you know God is actually bringing a change challenge to you? It might be about service. It might be about turning away from some of the old stuff that you're battling with, what the Bible calls repentance. But I guarantee you this, God the Holy Spirit never, ever, ever will stop seeking to change you. Now, you can put the brakes on. You can drag your heels. But Paul writes to the Corinthian church and he says, God is changing and wants to change you from one degree of glory to the next. So even if it's only that much today and that much tomorrow, keeping adding to that means the glory in you will grow. And the question is are you ready to receive that? Are you ready to let God keep changing your life? Or are you happy? Give me the status quo. Give me the old. Let me stay as I am. I like a brand new car, like a brand new washing machine, like a brand new CD for worship. But don't let God change this. Some change we embrace. Some change we resist. So wineskins, brand new wineskins, were ready to receive. But not just that, they were flexible to change. That's the whole point of this story. Jesus said the new wine goes into new wineskins because then when that maturing happens, then you can expand and embrace the maturity. embrace what's going to become what some people might call today a vintage. Now we think of vintage as being old, so like an old car or an old piece of kind of museum piece. We say, well, that's vintage. And we know that people talk about vintage wines, and we think, what is that all about? Just generally means it's a lot purer. It doesn't have to be very old to be a vintage. When they start picking the wines, they will be laying down vintage right from word go. But it does mean it's special. It does mean it's actually purer. It does mean it won't be mixed with other wines to kind of maintain a consistent flavour. It does mean that you will have the opportunity for you to grow in grace and in God and in knowing Him and becoming like Him. And God wants to do that with you. So that your life will be filled with love, and that will change you. Your life will be filled with grace, that will change you. God, your life will be filled with patience, that will change you. And say, oh, I don't want those things, don't want those things, they bring change. Do you really not want God to do those things in you? Will you not ask Him, God, every day, will you change me and make me a different person? Make me more the Christ would be if He was me. Would you do that? But what about together? Because together as a people, we have to face change. Again and again and again. Doesn't matter whether it's music and worship, whether it's the way church works and the way church happens. Constantly, we kind of say, I like it as it is. But the reality of it is, it doesn't stand still. When we try and make it, that's actually a death knell. Trying to make it stand still is one of the biggest killers of church that you could possibly have. So being flexible to change is vital. But not just that, growing to maturity. I don't know whether that's good or bad. I really don't. It just tastes good to me. I'm no expert, I haven't a clue. Just tastes like good grape juice. But you know, God's looking for savour and flavour from you and from us. And just like me holding my little grandson Ethan and saying I want him to stay like this for the next 70 years is a nonsense. God's challenge to us is, Will we let him, will you let him grow and mature your life? Apparently, for blokes, I can't speak very well for ladies, but there's an inner boy in all of us, and apparently he never goes away, right? But for some of us, it's about time. Blokes, for some of us, it's about time we stopped playing the little boy and started to take a real hold of what God wants for our lives, and started letting God, the Holy Spirit, take a hold and changes and challenges on some of the stuff that we're saying, I just want to keep playing at this, it's nice as we play. Don't miss what God's got for you by letting that little boy take a hold of your life. You can enjoy him sometimes. You know, playing a game of football or whatever you do on the video games, you can let the little boy out. But not too often. Okay? Flexible, growing, maturing. So, here's a guy called Barclay who was kind of a Bible scholar. And he said this, particularly of church. Any business which has lost as many customers as the church would have tried new methods long ago. And the reality of it is that whether we like it or not, change processes, being willing to adapt, being willing to change, is a vital part of being alive as a church community. So what we're talking about for September, it's not just a good idea that the pastor drummed up so we can pay him his wages. Please, I prayed a lot longer about it than that. Something's been written on my heart since 1986 when we decided to build this place. And I've read to you some of the minutes that we wrote back then about moving to two services. And one of the reasons we've not done it is because some of us struggle with the idea of change. But if God's kingdom is going to grow, if God's kingdom is going to challenge us and move us on, then we have to be willing to say, God, what are the exciting new changes? We've just sung about, cast me out upon the waters, but don't really, Lord Jesus, because I don't mean it. It's a nice song and the music's great, but please, don't let it touch my life. Will you embrace change? Will we embrace change? So what are the challenges? What are the challenges to us now? I think the first one is simply to be open and willing. Please, this is not about putting a gun to your heads and saying you've got to have it. God works differently to that. And he wants you in a place, he wants us in a place where we're saying, God, do things in my life. Do things in this church that are going to challenge us and shape us and take us and move us forwards. Will you be open and will you be willing? But then also, will you in faith believe? Believe that this new wine of God's kingdom is going to come in and change and shape the way you are. Change and shape the way we are. The theme for this year is planting potential. And that mustard seed that planted in the garden grows. A tiny, tiny pinhead prick of a mustard seed planted in the garden. And grows to take over the whole garden. Do you believe that God's kingdom has the potential? And not just that. Do you believe God wants his kingdom to grow to a place where we are growing as a people? Do you believe that? Do you believe that's what he wants? Or do you believe he wants us to stay the same? Okay, he'll change our nappies occasionally, but stay the same. Will you step out in faith? And then, finally, just the simple challenge of walking together. One of the reasons we've spent a lot of time thinking about change this year is just my heartbeat is, Lord, let us be one. Let us be one. Let's do this together. Whatever the challenges are, and it may not be two services in the future, there may be other challenges, even bigger than we've ever known. But will we do that together? 8-9 years ago, we said goodbye one Sunday morning to Valley Church. They were all a part of us here. And Pastor Ed and about 50 people left. And I don't know if you remember, we had a big cake and we prayed for them and we blessed them in the going. But I'll never forget that morning that one of our members came to me and said, Andrew, we're going to have a gift day for a new building project next Sunday. We can't go into a new building project if we're letting all these people go, because they'll be good givers. And we won't be able to afford it if we let them all go. I just looked at my friend and I said, do you trust God? Do you trust God? Do you trust God that the changes and the challenges that he's bringing us to us right here, right now, the change of all these people moving out, the change of us stepping out in faith to see God doing new things among us, do you believe that God will be the one who does that? And the following week, we had our first ever gift day for the new building program. And praise God, you gave over £200,000 in one gift day. And I was bawling my eyes out, humbled and thrilled. And by the way, thank you for last week. 13,700 came in last Sunday. And I'm still humbled and thrilled by him and by you. So thank you. But you know, God has challenged us to change. We've stepped up and we've been blessed by him. So will we do that now? Let's pray. God, thank you that you didn't let us stand still. Thank you that we were wandering and we were lost. And you took a hold of us and you gave us new life through everything your son did for us at the cross. And you changed us. And Lord, I want to say thank you that you don't stop and you won't ever stop. That your purposes are to conform us, to transform us. So we'd be like Jesus was. And Jesus is. and Jesus will be. And Lord, we ask, keep doing that. Don't let us stand still. Lord, don't let us play the boy when you're challenging us and changing us to become the man. Or the little girl when you want us to become women of God. Nor together as a church, this huge challenges that we face. Lord, freely, willingly, together let us embrace, in faith, believing that you have far more for us in terms of growing and seeing your kingdom expand here than we could ever dare to hope. Holy Spirit, do this work in us. Do this work in us.